afternoon, America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are happy to have you on board. We're back in the throes of it here. Spring break is over. It's come to an end. It was a good break. It was a very nice spring break. I feel relaxed, feel refreshed, feel ready to go. We had 11 days off here from at Waterbrook. 11 days. I mean, that's a nice little, mid-school break. So we're in the home stretch here now. We are locked in to the home stretch. It's just from here on out, we're all fired up. All cylinders are go. We're going to graduate the class of 2024. And then they're going to go out into the world and they're going to succeed. They're not going to be deadbeats. They're not going to be losers. They're going to succeed, every single last one of them. And why? Why are they going to succeed? Because, my friends, they've been educated. They will have received a classical education, which is one of, if not the best education that a young person can receive, especially when encompassed in a Christian environment, especially when it becomes a classical Christian education. It is by far and away the very best education anyone will ever receive. Am I biased? I don't think so. I felt this way about it even before Waterbrook made the switch to become classical. And this is a switch we've been, before we made it, we were looking to move in this direction years prior to making the switch. I just want to get back to what education used to be. I was reading this article the other day. Where is it? This was in Christian Today. The magazine is Christian Today. This is a few weeks ago. The author, Heather Tomlinson, is talking about the astonishing revival of classical education. And she is saying this, why Christians are returning to this type of education. And the reason that Christians are returning to a classical education is what's creating this, in her words, astonishing revival. She talks about the hotbed of politics that has really grown in public education. And we've watched this just, we have cataloged it quite a bit lately. Well, yesterday we talked about this school district in Minnesota where both, parent, teacher, and student, all three groupings said, we don't want to be a part of this LGBTQ lesson planning that you've got. That's going on this week. Okay, they plan for it to take place this week. And so they got a legal organization involved who sent a 40-page demand letter to the district saying, you can't really, this isn't, you have to respect the rights of people of faith who may want to raise their children with values that align with their faith. And it's probable, he didn't use the word probable in his 40-page demand letter. He said that what you're about to teach them here on homosexuality does not align with their faith. And in his 40-page demand letter, he cited, he spoke about Muslims, Jewish people, and Christians. It's these three faiths that they have a different plan for their children. As parents, they want their children to be raised in their faith, in their values. And so we see this political hotbed. And of course, the school district buckled under the pressure they finally acquiesced and they said, yeah, fine. If you want to opt out, you can opt out. And many parents, many Christian parents are realizing that this is going to be a fight that's never going to end. And why sacrifice the education of our children in order to make this fight? Well, let's find them a school that's going to educate them and educate them well. Hence, the revival of classical education. It's because parents are tired of the fight. Now, I get that. I get being tired of the fight while risking your own child's education. I don't think your child's education should be sacrificed to keep this fight alive. I would say put them in a classical Christian education. Let's keep the fight going, but not at the expense of our children's education. Let's continue to fight for what's right in this culture. Let's continue to try to save public education as much as possible. I'm all for that. But again, not at the risk of our own children's education. Our kids must be protected. And in my opinion, and in the opinion of this author here in Christian Today, a classical education, specifically a classical Christian education, is the best approach to doing that. So in the article, again, she's talking about the political hotbed. As she quotes Steve Turley here, who is a writer for the Imaginative Conservative, which is it's a nice site. They've got some excellent things out there. Imaginative Conservative. Turley says, our students are part of nothing less than a civilizational renaissance. The revitalized intellectual tradition of a distinctive and vibrant Christian culture. I like his language here. Nothing less than a civilization renaissance. That's what a classical education is described as. A civilizational renaissance. We want civilization back. We want to have this renaissance. And that revitalizes, in Turley's words, an intellectual tradition. An intellectual tradition. We want to bring intellects back. We want to bring back thinking. We want to make thinking cool again. We want to make thinking an option because it seems for far too long, thinking hasn't been an option. And we just feel like we're being gaslit constantly. Now, this debacle over the weekend at the White House, their proclamation that Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the most important holiday on the Christian calendar, the most important day of faith to a Christian is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this debacle of Biden, proclaiming, making this big public display that it being Transgender Visibility Day. Now, all right, and I talked about this, I get it. March 31st has been their day of visibility, all right, for a while now. I don't know, the past decade. I mean, he has made a proclamation every year he's been in office that March 31st. All right, so he just so happens to re-up the ante here on Good Friday, creating this stir. But he came out with a statement. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know what I don't know what article I was reading this in. I can't cite it because I don't remember what the article was, but I'm just going to try to go by my memory. The article said, read this yesterday, that Biden came out claiming he did not make that proclamation. But something about in his quote somewhere where he said that, making reference to the Speaker of the House, Speaker Johnson's statement that Biden made this proclamation is in error or something to the reference of Speaker Johnson being wrong about this proclamation. And I just shake my head. And I just think we are just the gaslighting has gotten out of control. I don't know who posted it. I think Elon Musk. Somebody posted the other day this meme that they have just asked the press secretary. They're not even inviting her up to speak anymore at press conferences, and on the podium they're just putting a gaslit lamp, and that's just what's at the podium right now, because that's what's happening. You know, she'll stand up there and say, "No, the president does not have dementia. He's fine. He's great. He's as healthy can be. No, he loves Christians. He's a Catholic through and through. He loves everything about Christianity." Well, you know, that can't be correct. That can't be an actual factual statement. No, it's just turning up the gas on the light. We're being gaslit constantly. And it just feels like we live in this society that, as I said the other day, is constantly reliving April Fool's Day. It's no longer Groundhog's Day that just gets replayed over and over. It's April Fool's Day. It's like every day is a joke. And we have forgotten an intellectual tradition that having an intellectual conversation, we almost feel like that it's almost impossible to have. We can't have intellectual debate. I mean, we could have it, but we're not having it. And in my opinion, the reason we're not having it is because we have graduated students year after year after year who don't have the capability to have it. And now they just go, they're just lockstep. They just do what they're told. I'm looking at an article here, another one in my stack. The headline says, "Top Journalism School Mandating Diversity Course to Earn Degree." The Walter Cronkite School of Journalism redefines such phrases as "America is a melting pot" as race-based microaggressions. The Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. All right, this is what our kids are learning, at least. Our journalists, when they go to the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism, they learn that the phrase "America is a melting pot" is it's racist. It's full of microaggressions. It just makes me shake my head in frustration. Can you feel it? America is a melting pot. It's because people come here legally, by the way, from all over the place. From every walk of life. And that's the phrase melting pot. It is the opposite of microaggression. It's the opposite of being race-based. But you've got buffoons at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. The article says mandatory wokeness has crept into one of the top journalism schools in the United States. Now, the key word here is crept. It got in sneakily because people weren't paying attention. That's how it crept in, slowly but surely. The Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication is requiring students to complete the course Diversity and Civility in order to earn their bachelor's degree in journalism. Diversity and Civility. It sounds nice. Sounds like a great course, doesn't it? The course, which also applies to students studying sports journalism and digital media, redefines, as I said here in the headline, such phrases as "America is a melting pot" as microaggression. And it teaches future journalists to avoid assuming unearned benefits that come with heterosexual privilege. All right, if you're a straight white individual, now heterosexual doesn't include race, but you know that's what they mean. And really, man, male, if you're a straight white male, then you've got unearned benefits. You didn't earn a thing. Whatever rank you've risen to, you've not earned it. This is what's being taught. When we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion being taught in our schools, this is what's happening. And we have left off, as Turley says, we've left off the intellectual tradition. There's no intellect in this statement. There's just buffoonery. Examples of outdated heterosexual privileges given in the journalism curriculum at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism include excluding biological males who identified as female from traditional sex-segregated places like women's locker rooms and women's prisons. Here's the quote. To object to a man using a woman's bathroom is an example of discrimination against transgender individuals, reads a chapter in the course entitled Sexuality and Gender Identity. That's the chapter. To object to a man using a woman's bathroom is an example of discrimination against people who are men who want to dress up like women. You're discriminating against them because they dressed up like a woman. They should be allowed to use the woman's bathroom. Oh, heaven help us. But this has now become discrimination. There is no intellectual tradition. Back in the day, an intellectual statement would have been, oh, I don't care if you're dressed up like a woman. You're a man. You can't use the woman's bathroom. Stay out of the woman's bathroom. Now, there's this thing called privacy. We have rights to privacy. No, you can't go into that woman's bathroom just because you think you're a man. You're not. There used to be this intellectual dialogue that could happen, and now it doesn't happen. It's gone. And it's gone with a vengeance. You have the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism, and this is what they're teaching the kids. This is what they're teaching the journalists. And it doesn't matter. You've got to take this class if you're in sports journalism. That's why ESPN went woke, or news journalism, or any other form of journalism. Also part of the 7-unit course is required reading material entitled A Guide to Gender Identity Terms. It includes lessons that emphasize the importance of asking someone for their preferred pronouns and using them. See, intellectually, we used to understand at a very intellectual level that if you're a man, your pronouns are going to be he and him. And they're not going to be she and her. They can't be. It, because those pronouns refer to femininity, and you're a man, you're masculine. But intellectual dialogue is gone. It's thrown out the window. Everything is upside down. It's the reverse. Of course, it can be the reverse. It can be whatever you want it to be. There is no such thing as objective truth. It's now subjective. And parents are tired of it. They're fed up with it. Hence the revitalization of classical education. Hence the civilizational renaissance, as Turley calls it, revitalizing intellectual tradition, specifically tradition that's distinctive and vibrant in Christian culture. That's what's coming back. Now, the other day, I explained why America is still a Christian nation. We're still a Christian nation because on Good Friday, there were no government offices open. Now, I did make the statement, and I have to correct myself. I made the statement that you can't go to the post office and buy stamps. After the show was over, I'm home, and who comes to my door but the post lady? She's not a postman anymore. No, she's a lady. And she drops off packages, and I'm like, are you? Wait, it's Good Friday. No, we're open. So I stand corrected. All right. I stand corrected. The post office was open on Good Friday. Mail was being delivered. I thought that they were closed on Good Friday. All the other government offices are closed. So is this the trend here? Is this the trend where now We're going to see some government offices start to creep open on Christian holidays where they normally would stay closed because America was founded as a Christian nation. I mean, that could be a thing. Absolutely, it could be a thing. But back to my topic at hand here in the revitalization of a classical Christian education that is distinctive and vibrant in Christian culture, it's because this is what parents want to get back to. It's because we were founded as a Christian nation, and the majority of the country want to go back. Well, Dean, how can you say the majority of the country? Well, I busted out this statistic a few weeks ago. I don't have it in front of me. I'm just operating right now off the brilliance of my own memory. And the stat said, and it was a very reliable source. I remember quoting it. The stat said that 72% of parents, oh, I know what it was in. Ha-ha. See, my memory is genius. It was in a parental survey that was performed. What was the, I don't remember the place that the survey came through. All right, maybe my memory is not that brilliant, but it was a parental survey that came out at the first of the year. And parents were asked, how many of you are looking for a different school? 72%. 72% of American parents said, yes, we're looking. We want to be somewhere else. We're not happy with the public education. We're not happy with what is being taught our kids. We're not happy about the fact that we have to appeal and appeal and appeal to have our children opted out of specific homosexual lesson planning. We don't want that. It's not our thing. And if you want it to be your thing, fine. Have it be your thing. But we don't want our kids subject to that. And we believe that we have constitutional rights as parents to raise our children in a particular faith that we want them raised in, whether it be Judaism, Islam, or Christianity. These three religions and the individuals and the groups in these three religions are demanding that they be allowed to teach their children exactly what they want to teach them. And they should be allowed. This should be a thing. We should be able to get back to an intellectual tradition and not be forced to comply and not be forced to say that we're discriminating against men who want to dress up like women because we won't let them use the woman's bathroom. There is no intellect in that, none at all. Or that we're forced to call somebody by a pronoun that doesn't match their gender. Here's the quote from this article. You know what? I'm up against it. Oh, I went long. Okay, I'm going to pick this quote up. I'll pick the article back up. I'll pick this whole thing up on the other side of this break. Thank you for joining me today. This is the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. And no matter how you are listening, we're happy that you are. And there's a million ways you can listen. iHeartRadio is a fine way to find us. Or my favorite way, just download the app. Download the American Out Loud Talk Radio app. You can listen live on your iPhone, your Android, your Alexa, or you can hear us in podcast. That's fine. If you want to listen later at your leisure, that is fine. We're just happy that you're listening. Thank you for doing it. If you have questions or comments, if you go to AmericaOutloud.news, I'm gonna go there right now. AmericaOutloud.news. And you can see all the hosts on the site. If you click on our name, you can go to our page. You can see our page there, where all of our shows are in podcast form on the page. There is a comment section. Many of you are using that comment section, and I love it. Type in a comment, a question. There's also a link there that you can click the link, and it'll go directly to my email. I read the emails. I enjoy reading them. For the most part, I do. I enjoy reading them for the most part. But if you have a question or if you have a comment, I think it would be fun, maybe one day a week if we start doing some Q&A segments. I think that would be a blast. I know it happens on some of the shows here. Malcolm and McCullough, they do a Q&A, and it's medical stuff. So maybe medicine is more prone for Q&A. I know Ely and the and Artis and the team over there, that Nicola Burnett, I believe, and there's a fourth one that's part of that team, Healing for Radio, and they have some Q&A, and it's just excellent Q&A stuff. Excellent. I don't know if education. I don't see why it couldn't. I don't see why it couldn't be a wonderful platform or point of discussion for some Q&A. So let's fire it up. If you have questions or comments, use the comment section on the page, AmericaOutloud.news. I would love it. I would love to fire up some Q&A. So maybe one day a week, maybe one segment of one day, we'll just throw out some Q&A. Let's get the conversation going. I wonder if you would agree with Stephen Turley here, who says that our students are part of nothing less than the civilizational renaissance. The students that are in a classical education, and from my standpoint, a classical Christian education, I agree with him. I believe they are in a civilizational renaissance. What do you think about that? Do you agree with that? Do you agree that we've lost the intellectual tradition? Now, I'm taking his statement that we're trying to revitalize an intellectual tradition that's distinctive and vibrant in Christian culture. That's what he's saying. But I'm extrapolating from that the fact that we have indeed, in my opinion, lost an intellectual tradition. And to prove my point, I'm referring to this article here that the headline says, "Top Journalism School Mandating Diversity Course to Earn Degree." The top journalism school is indeed the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Arizona State University. If you've got Walter Cronkite's name in your journalism school, you're a top journalism school. I mean, Walter Cronkite was the man. He was absolutely the man. I caught the tail end of the Cronkite career, the Cronkite era. But now you've got this journalism school here with Cronkite's name on the door saying that to object to a man using a woman's bathroom is an example of discrimination. You're discriminating against that man who's dressed up like a woman, who you're saying, excuse me, sir, but you can't use that bathroom. And you're also requiring students to use preferred pronouns. Here's the quote. This is the quote I was going to give you at the end of the last segment. And I ran out of time. Here it is. You should offer your own pronouns first and then ask for the other person's pronouns, the reading material says. While it can be awkward at first, it can quickly become routine. Okay, if it's awkward, then leave it out. Yes, hi, my name is Dean, he, him. What are your pronouns? I clearly see you're a man, but you might not be he, him. You might be she, her. You might be they, them. You might be in some other made-up word. Nope. Uh-uh. No, there's no intellectual discussion here. This discussion is based upon stupidity. Dean, you be nice. How dare you call them stupid? Look, the judge in California in the Temecula Valley case said that critical race theory has no educational merit, no pedagogical value. And the reason is because it's a lie. It's not the truth. So, if it has no educational value because it's a lie, or no pedagogical merit because it's a lie, then there's no intellect in that because it's a lie. There's no intellectual value in a lie. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Goose egg. So I can say that this statement is not based on intellect. This statement that I should... The suggestion that I should offer my pronouns first and then ask for the other person's pronouns, there's no intellect in that because it's based on a lie, on a falsehood. It's based on stupidity. I don't mean to be offensive. I really don't. I'm just being accurate. I'm being actual. I'm being factual. I'm just telling the truth. I'm sorry if someone's offended by the truth. Oh, unbelievable. The course also teaches students to view statements like, quote, I believe the most qualified person should get the job as microaggression. That translates into people of color are given extra unfair benefits because of their race. And everyone can succeed in this society if they work hard enough, as implying that people of color are lazy and are incompetent and need to work harder. No, you moron, that's not what it's implying. It's not implying that at all. It's implying what it means to imply, that everyone can succeed in this society. They work hard enough. They have the ability. They've got freedom. They've got loads of potential and a structure in this country that provides them the freedom to pursue their dreams and goals. And it's not even that you have to work hard enough. Sometimes you just have to work smart enough. But I don't even know what to say about this. This is microaggression. If I say I believe the most qualified person should get the job, I am. That translates into microaggression. All right. Whoever is running this school, I'm going to go on record here right now. Whoever's running this journalism school, they're lying to every student in that school. And if you attend this school, leave. Leave now. Demand your tuition back or something, because you're being sold a bill of goods. That's it. just a bill of goods. You're not given anything of quality or merit. You've just been given a bill of goods. You're just paying tuition for nothing. So the Epic Times, you know, reached out to the state-run college. They described the mandatory course as an entry-level course intended to bring thoughtful, open-minded discourse to issues of race, gender, sexual orientation, ability, income, geography, and other aspects of personal identities. The goal of the course is to help students appreciate people's differences and to channel disagreements towards civil discussion. With that view, students should be better able to approach reporting and communications projects with a multicultural perspective and inspire mutual aspect among students from various backgrounds and beliefs. Instead of just referring to them as Americans, talking about them as Americans, a melting pot of individuals as Americans. No, we can't do that. We've got to focus on and appreciate people's differences. We have to do what makes us different. We have to go after multicultural perspectives because this will inspire mutual respect. No, not the way you present it. It doesn't inspire mutual respect. It inspires mutual hatred. It inspires mutual division. And it inspires mutual stupidity. There's no intellect in it. A spokesperson for the Walter Cronkite School also told the Epic Times that students may opt out of specific discussions by sending their professor a private email, requesting them to do so. I don't. If you know that people are going to opt out of discussions, then doesn't that make you want to consider deeply what's being discussed? Or does it make you want to discuss them all the more because you know you're hitting this indoctrinational hot button and you want to keep doing it? Because now you're going to direct the next generation right where you want them directed. And it's not down a road of intellect. It's down a road of stupidity. It's not, there's no truth in it. There's no wisdom in it. There's no virtue in it. And this is what parents want. And hence the revitalization of a classical Christian education in this country. The ancient world, this is the Society for Classical Learning. This is their website. It says, the ancient world has much to offer us today in thinking about how we might best teach and encourage young people toward virtue, wisdom, and truth. And a classical Christian education is interested in that. It's interested in the ancient world. It's interested in biblical truths and Judeo-Christian values, because it wants to encourage and direct young people toward virtue, wisdom, and truth. All right, that's not what's happening here at the Walter Cronkite School. Okay, there's no virtue, there's no wisdom, there's no truth. Everyone can succeed in this society if they work hard enough is not implying that people of color are lazy or incompetent and need to work harder. It's not implying that at all. There's no mention of color here in this statement. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say this statement over and over again and just get under the skin of particular people, I guess, because it's a true statement. Everyone can succeed in this society. Everyone can succeed. They've got this open door to them. This, my friends, is truth. This is wisdom. And this is what a classical education is striving for. It's what we want. We want to go after things that are true, things that are good, things that are beautiful. This is what parents want. This is what they want for their kids. If you're a parent, wouldn't you rather have your children taught about the potential that is available to them from being a citizen in the freest country on the planet? Wouldn't you rather have them taught that perspective versus it's just racist? That's all it is. It's racist. You're a bigot if you think that, and you're not going anywhere in life anyway. So just give up. That's it. You just give up. That's all you got to do is just throw in the towel because you're a loser and you're always gonna be a loser. I mean, that's the way I feel that that's what that type of teaching is like. That's just how it is. There's no sound wisdom in that. Parents can see it. They can see right through it. They know what's happening. Hence why 72% of them are like, I need a different place. I need a new school here. I'm tired of Johnny being in this filth. We got to have there's got to be something more. And I'm going after it. And parents are going after it all over the country. And we've documented it here. We cataloged it. We've talked about the mass exodus that's taking place in public schools all over the country. And it's just quiet. It's quiet. No one's talking about it. No, I feel like I'm the only one talking about it. I mean, you don't hear about it on the news. Another school shutters their doors, or the disenrollment is, in some schools it's 50%, and then elementary schools are consolidating because, a lot of districts have many elementary schools. They're smaller buildings, and there's a lot of them. They're in their local communities, and for an elementary school to lose 50% of their population, yeah, it doesn't make sense to pay to keep the building open. So there's consolidation happening all over the country because parents are opening up, their eyes are being open to the truth, being open to understanding what is going on around us. All right, I'm up against this break. I went a little long again. We'll pick this up on the other side. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will. The will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio, where smart people go to get their news and information. It's also where smart people go to get their health products. They at AmericaOutloud.news right now, there is a product available called Heal Right. It's a metabolic, almost candy bar type thing. Food is medicine. That's their That's what they promote. They promote food as medicine. And these metabolic health bars are designed to combat metabolic dysfunction, which, according to the research, over 80% of the country is involved in some type of metabolic dysfunction. I don't want metabolic dysfunction, and I trust the people here that vet the products. And so I'm taking the Heal Right metabolic bars. They're delicious. They come in four flavors. You really should give them a shot. Give it a try. My favorite happens to be the banana peanut butter. I've heard others say they don't like Malcolm says he doesn't like the banana peanut butter. He loves the chocolate cherry pomegranate. That's the one I don't like. This might be the thing that Malcolm and I, part company on. I mean, not literally, but figuratively, this might be our one and only disagreement. But the bars are delicious. And I just encourage you, listen, if you're interested in your health, I'm interested in my health. And long term, I'm interested in my metabolic health. Give these metabolic bars a try. They are, I'm telling you, they're delicious. And my short-term health is part of my regimen is Cofix RX. I use it. So there's some good products here. OutLoud25, or use coupon code OutLoud and you'll get 20% off. In some instances, I know there's 25%, but I think mostly it's 20%, which is fantastic. It's a fantastic deal. It really is. So you can click the banner at AmericaOutloud.news or just go to AmericaOutloud.shop and you'll see the whole slew. All right. So we're talking about the eyes of parents opening up and the country realizing, I want my child to have an actual education. This is the conclusion that parents are coming to. 72%, I use this number a lot. 72% have said, yeah, we're looking. Matter of fact, within that survey, I think 64%, almost two-thirds, said they're not only talking about looking, they've actually gotten in their car and driven to a school to check it out. And then almost half of them have pulled the trigger. Almost half of them have said, yeah, we're doing it. We're going. I'm moving my child. I mean, these are big numbers. These are big numbers. And it's probably going to take a little more prodding for some parents to actually make the decision. But that's why we're here. That's why we're here because, listen, your child's education is the most important decision you'll make. How they're going to be educated. There isn't anything more important. There isn't. Now, I know this article here that I'm referring to about the Walter Cronkite School. This is college level. It's not K-12. But nonetheless, it's making my point. It's making my point that, parents don't want this. Timothy Minella is a senior constitutionalism fellow at the Goldwater Institute. And here's what he said to the Epoch Times. He said he's especially disturbed by this required journalism course because it's being mandated by a public taxpayer-funded university. Here's his direct quote: "Students who decide to major in these subjects are not necessarily signing up to be progressive activists. A public university that should be serving the entire public, not just the liberal slice of it, needs to return to its core mission of education, not indoctrination. There once was a core mission of education. And that core mission of education has waned and slipped into now what is indoctrination." Back to this Christian Today article. I keep jumping back and forth between these two, but that's okay. That's okay. We don't mind playing verbal pinball. Can you hang with us? Can you keep up is the question. Heather Tomlinson in this article in Christian Today. Again, the headline is Why Christians Are Returning to a Classical Education and the Astonishing Revival of Classical Education. She says, the radical kind of education is becoming more popular in the UK too. Now, I don't want to focus on what's happening on the other side of the pond. I want to focus on her use of the word radical. This radical kind of education. Some might look at that and say, oh, that's it. Classical education, classical Christian education is radical. We shouldn't be engaging in radical education. Well, if that is their approach to the word, they're failing to understand the word. All right. Think in terms of math. You remember the radical symbol? In math, it kind of looks like the division symbol, except the front piece of it's got that extra little leg that jets out. Unlike the division box, the radical symbol has that extra little front piece that and a radical symbol lets you get to the square root. It lets you get down to the foundation of the thing. And that's her use of the word radical here. It is a radical kind of education because it gets down to the foundation of a thing. What's at the very foundation? It should be truth. Truth should be at the very foundation of education. 2 + 2 is indeed 4. That is a fact. That is truth. And that is the foundation. All right, arithmetic is the foundation of mathematics. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. It's those things are true. They're true things. 2 × 2 is also 4. These are true statements. They're foundational. This is a classical education. It gets down to the foundation of the matter. Things that are true. Things that are good. Things that are beautiful. And this is what parents want. What they're going after. They're tired of putting up with the junk. They're tired of putting up with the filth. There are so many things here in my stack that I would love to get to. I don't have time today, maybe tomorrow. But there is this growing controversy at the college level of state colleges pushing this idea of transgenderism and this idea of critical race theory. It's becoming widespread. Public institutions, they're public because there's some public funding going on there. Now, should we be, as the public, are we okay that we're paying for this? Or should we be rising up and saying something against it? Should we be speaking out against it? And much the way that the atheists spoke out against public education providing a Christian biblical worldview. You know, how dare they? And then in the 60s, that was it. It was done. The Bible was out. Prayer was out. It doesn't matter that it was part of our educational structure for centuries. That doesn't matter. In this moment, somebody was offended and it had to leave. Well, the same holds true here. But it's our tax dollars that are funding these public universities, and they're just hammering. They're making it mandatory that you've got to come and learn that you're discriminating against the individual, against the man who wants to dress up like the woman and use the woman's bathroom. No. Earlier in March, the South Carolina House approved a bill to ban mandatory diversity training for students and staff at state universities in South Carolina. We watched what happened in Florida. We watched how Indiana put their spin on it. We watched what happened in Alabama, that not only did they ban it from state universities, but all public institutions. And now we see it We see it happening here in South Carolina. The South Carolina bill also bans any diversity mission statements as part of their admissions and employment process. If passed, it would add South Carolina to 22 states that pass similar legislation. 22 states, almost half of the country right now. Almost half of the states right now in the country have passed some sort of legislation. It's because people want to go to a radical approach to education, not radical and new or radical and crazy or radical and just out there. No, radical in meaning foundational. Radical meaning truth. A foundational truth of society. And the truth, the foundational truth in this society, in this country, is freedom abounds. The foundation of freedom is in place. It's in stone. It's in the Declaration. It's in the Constitution. And yes, I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your religious creed is or philosophy is. You have the potential and the ability to achieve and succeed, whatever you want to do. Now, you're not guaranteed to achieve and succeed. There's no guarantee. But the ability's there. The potential's there. The opportunity's there. So why don't you take it? And parents, why don't you have your child in an educational environment that teaches them that they have the opportunity, they have the potential, they have the ability, and they should pursue it with everything that's inside of them? And I think as parents, you do want that for your kids. I think that's why we are seeing a surge in classical Christian education. We're seeing this, what Turley refers to as the civilizational renaissance. We're seeing it. We're seeing the revitalization of intellectual tradition. We're watching it unfold before our very eyes. And my friends, it's fantastic. Oh, I love it. I do. I love it. I absolutely love it. That's what we're going after here. We're going to shine the light of truth on the educational landscape, and we're going to direct parents into truth. And there is a way of education that I promise you is more truthful than what's being delivered, than what's, it's more truthful than what's being offered to little Johnny and little Susie in this moment. All right. That is all the time we have for today, America. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for being a part of the Out Loud family. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Share this show. Share, if something comes across that you like, that it hit you, share it. Let's spread it. Together, we must unite to renovate the age.